Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black on this Victory Monday. Knoxville feels good. I feel good. Cody Mack, how do you feel?
Doing all right, John. It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
You sound terrible.
Yeah, well, I feel better than I look, probably. I feel all right, but got a few bumps and bruises over the weekend. Felt like I played in the game to an extent. I gave it my all for Tennessee this weekend. And, you know, Saturday, I pretty much started losing my voice Friday, actually. But then by Saturday, I could barely talk. And it's a little better today, but not much. So apologies to the audience. I'll sound a little bit hoarse today.
That just means you gave your all.
I did. I put my full effort into this weekend's festivities. Thank you to everyone who came to Hops Friday. We had a great
Friday. Was fun.
A great turnout.
Fantastic.
Great turnout. I was very impressed with. I thought it would be a good night, you know, but I was even more impressed than I thought. There were more people than I thought.
It was like a good 35, 40 people that came through, at least.
I think it was more than that.
Well, I was just going to say at one time. At the end of the night, there was like 40 people still outside, kind of all.
Yeah.
Whenever I called it quits. But yeah, no, like 60 or 70 came through. But
it was a nice little meet and greet. Got to hang out with some people. And then Saturday.
Good tippers?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
love to see it.
Yeah, I made a little money. But and then Saturday, obviously, was a great day. Great day altogether as we decided last week it would be one of the best days of our lives.
It was good. Did you make it into the game?
I did. Thank you to you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Thank That's what I was fishing you. For. I told you I'd come through for the big guy. I came through
you
for
did.
The big guy.
You did. We made it to Friday. And
I told you. Just trust me. Trust me.
I was going back and forth. I was like, God, am I gonna try to pay for one of these tickets? And finally, you came through. And
well, don't say finally. I told you just be patient.
Yeah, no, I was patient. I knew things would work out. And so obviously, yeah, thank you to you. And I still need to pay you for that.
No,
ticket.
Come on.
You tried to tell me it was only 90, but I know it was more.
Come
than,
on.
I know it was more than 90.
I got you taken care of. Don't worry about me.
Well, we'll work all that out. But, yeah, it was a good weekend. And then Saturday night after the game, you know, everybody had a good time. Went out to the bars, did some beer drinking, had fun, got in a fist fight, and everything's good. And then yesterday just sat around and watched
Lick
a little football.
Wounds.
Yeah, watched some NFL. It was almost the perfect weekend. It was.
If you wouldn't have gotten beat up?
Yeah, well, I didn't get beat up. The other guy got beat up, but I got assaulted, but it's no big deal. I forgive and forget.
What kind of person do you have to be mad at Cody McClure is what I don't know.
I don't know. This guy was, he was calling me names and calling me fat boy. Hey, fat boy. He was mocking me while I was throwing the cornhole, and I just went up and I said, "What's the problem, dude?" You know, and he had a problem, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He hit me, and then I hit him a lot more than that.
Good. It is weird. It is weird. I've had people like that before. I've told you about the guy I had to fight in college that would just heckle me during beer pong all night, like
yeah.
just for no reason. No. Beef, no relationship with this guy, and just the whole night just kept chirping me about beer pong. And then we went to play real basketball at night. And,
yeah.
You know, my team won that drunken basketball game, and he was chirping then, too. And I was like, okay. I was like, if you want to fight, come down here. And he came down there, so we fought. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, you let somebody punch you first, and I always tell you, don't let that happen.
Well, I think you have to let him, because then you're if you're the one on the attack, then you can be –
You mean in case the police get involved?
I'm just saying, yeah, in a court of law, you don't want to be the guy that hits first, right?
Yeah, and when you do it out in public, it's probably different.
I was provoked, and then I said, if you want to make a move, make a move, and he made a move. He made a move, and I didn't think he was going to. And I've tried to credit the guy. He might be listening today. I don't know. But to his credit, like, he made his move, and I didn't think he would. I thought I could just get – usually I can get by on intimidation.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, because
– I can be like, go ahead, hit me.
I would imagine that if, you know, if anybody's looking at you, they'll be like, well, if this guy gets a hold on me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I wasn't even prepared to fight, and then all of a sudden –
You were looking good. You had a nice Tennessee shirt on. Yeah. You're living good.
Yeah, that shirt's ruined. All the buttons got ripped out. I lost my nice pair of blue sunglasses. They got lost in the mix.
That might have been my biggest upset of the day was me making it through the day with my sunglasses.
I saw that.
I got home. Well, I made the mistake. So I told you, 6 a.m., the tailgate was set up at 6:30, just like I told you it would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I woke up at 5:45. I left my place. I pulled in right to my spot at 6:30 on the dot. And then I made it home about 2 o'clock, and made a mistake while in the bar. I remember distinctly taking my sunglasses out and laying them on a table with my friends. I was like, because like I was wearing some pants, like I'm kind of tired of walking around with these like sunglasses, and I don't want to like break them. And then I was like, oh, when I woke up the next morning, I was like, man, I was like, I guarantee you, I left those sitting on the table, or somebody swiped them. I was like, there's some sunglasses gone. And then when I actually started moving around, they were exactly where I hoped I'd left them, and it just felt like such a win. It just made me feel like even more of a winner. Saturday, the Vols. Sunday, the Titans. My fantasy team came through. My predictions, another board bet win. How about that Aaron Rodgers taking down Tom Brady? I told you they would.
Yeah, that Brady didn't have any weapons the whole day. It was tough.
The only minor complaint I would have is that the Colts found a way. That sack somehow ending up with a personal foul penalty that goes from like 4th and 20 to a first down seemed a little stupid, but whatever. Whatever, I'm not going to nitpick on that. And it was a super solid weekend.
It was a 10 out of 10, just about. It was a great weekend. But yeah, surprised you made it through with the sunglasses. That is probably one of the more impressive things I've heard.
Made it through with the sunglasses, and I told you, made it till 2 a.m.
And you were, you definitely.
On like 4 hours of sleep, really.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive considering I saw him at 11 o'clock, and he was definitely a few White Claws deep. I'm talking 11.
I was vodka deep at that point. Okay, vodka. I poured my first vodka at 7:30. I was like, well, I might as well do it.
I'm saying 11 a.m. You gotta go hard. 11 a.m. Okay. Cam. That's when I first saw him.
Yeah, sorry I didn't make it. I kind of overslept.
Your boy made it.
Yeah,
he was, your boy Jamarius.
He called me.
He was looking for you. Like, you know Cam. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He stopped through. Got to see him. And yeah, no, I do know that, you know, there were some people worried. I had some friends really trying to hand me some water. And he said I looked at him and just said, it's too late for me on that end. Like,
It's too late for me.
No sense in giving me a water. It's not that one little water ain't gonna do nothing for me here at 2:30, my guy. Like it's.
And then you made it another 12 hours with those sunglasses.
With sunglasses.
So props to you.
That is impressive.
And I had my crocodile boots on. There was a time in the game where I was contemplating life. My feet were hurting from all the walking and standing up, and there were times in the first quarter when we kept hitting all those commercials where I did kind of put my hands in my head for a second and said, we gotta snap out of it.
Yeah.
We gotta snap out of it.
I was pretty sauced by game time, too, to the point, like, that ticket you hooked me up with, apparently we somehow knew those people, and, like, I was trying to be, like, say hello or whatever, and then I was too drunk, and I couldn't even really talk to him through most of the game.
I was going
to
say I don't know those people, actually, but a friend of mine said that was, like, his high school ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
So well, I guess they're on good terms.
I guess the mom knew us. And she was nice. The girl didn't really talk to me, but the mom was nice. And like, I tried to be friendly, but I was pretty. By that point, too, I had a couple moments where I was kind of head in hands, too, like, ugh.
Yeah.
I need to mix in some waters. And then that's very much a key.
And then the walk after the game to the Old City. It was a pretty nice little trek in those boots by myself.
You walked?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. You walked over there?
Yeah.
You have to.
What was I supposed to do? Get a scooter? I can't be scooting over there.
I mean, get a ride.
Fly? Get a ride from whom?
I'll tell you
one thing. The Ubers were $120
the
entire night. I thought eventually there would be a break in action because I didn't want to stay out at the bar till 2 a.m., but I was like, I couldn't afford to go home. It was like $120. I spent $120.
Yeah. I was lucky to have a ride with somebody. I don't know how we got home.
Well, you made it.
Oh, I know what happened. We got a ride out of there. Well, we didn't go home until like 5 o'clock. I think it was like 5 a.m. And by then, the Ubers were cheaper.
Yeah. I kept waiting for them to break, and they never did. So I was then at the, I was at the mercy of one of my friends, and that, you know how that is when you're on friends. And I was like, I'm not trying to.
I still don't know who I rode with, how I got to my other friend's house.
It was a great night, though. It was a great night. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Game day festivities. I said it in my video on Friday that it was going to look, you know, it was going to be something that people talked about, peak college football. When you see all the pictures coming out of it and you see the way just Knoxville looked, the way Neyland Stadium looked, and you really soak it all in, it was peak college football. I'm not saying that means Tennessee is the best team in the country. That's not what I mean by peak. But it's just like the people who say college football is special, they point to days like Saturday and fan bases like that.
Yep.
Very, very few, if any, NFL games will ever feel like that. And that is what people have in their hat whenever they are talking. It's a feather in the cap when you're talking about the you know how special college football is.
Yeah, and I think even the Florida fans felt it too, like at a certain point, like, okay, have this one, Tennessee. Like it was our day. It was our day, and we got to have our day. And if that's the only one we have this year, then that's fine. But we were the story of the country Saturday.
I don't think it's going to be our only one. Let's check in with Cam. Cam, a nice victory Monday to you as well, my friends.
Well, thank you, sir. It was good. Yep, TBO. Good all around. I didn't get to enjoy the game as much as y'all. I did do a little work, but work was slow enough that I got to watch it, and I did at least make my mark a little bit. I didn't have to work till about halftime, so I went to an establishment to watch the beginning of the game, and there was a Florida fan there. There was a Florida fan there. It was one of those guys that's like jumping and yelling at every single play. And so, obviously, somebody had the match's energy, and I took it upon myself, and I was being that guy. And thankfully, I left. If I would have stayed, it probably would have ended up in a fight. But I ended up having to go to work. I was being responsible.
At least it wasn't vol-on-vol violence like my situation.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Apparently, we were both rocking our orange.
Somebody put their paws on Cody.
Vol-on-vol violence.
All I know is, like,
see the other guy.
From the longest day. Well, I know, but from the longest day, like I said, because Friday I didn't plan on staying at Hobbs as long as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you texted me, like, Friday after that, it was 1:30, I think. You didn't sleep much Friday night.
I had something I had to go do. I had to go do after Hobbs.
Oh, did?
Yeah. But I didn't get into sleep till 1:30. Like I said, I've always told you about my clock, my body clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like I think I finally slept like at 1:45, and then I woke up at 2:45 and 3:30 because I didn't want to oversleep. And 4:15.
Oh man.
4:45 and then 5:30, and I was like, damn, that's when I have to get up. So like,
I bet you slept like a baby last night, didn't you?
No. No. Really. I thought I was going to too, but I was hoping to sleep in, but up for some reason at 6:30. I don't even have to get up at 6:30. I don't know why the hell did I wake up, but. No, I'm running on about probably like 10 hours of sleep since Thursday
same,
night.
Same.
Yeah.
I did participate after the game, after I got off work. I had to enjoy that.
But I was going to say, I laid on my couch about 2:15 or so on Saturday night, Sunday morning. I woke up at 7, and I just had a text from Cody that said, I just got into a fight. I think I said, I just beat somebody's ass or something around that. And then I had to wait for the update until like 11, but
I think it was like 1.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. I did see you texting me like 7 a.m. I was like, why is he awake?
Yeah, I was just up. But it was a special day. We'll talk about it more because I thought Saturday was a statement to the rest of the country. I thought it was a statement, the Tennessee-Florida rivalry. Let's go to break. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I just got up, wandered around the studio, and I have discovered that at 12:19 p.m. there are 4 empty popsicle wrappers over there next to Cam. Have you already eaten 4 popsicles?
Yes.
What?
We have talked about how I have purchased 80 popsicles.
Yes.
So
I don't think they go bad, do they?
No, but I eat them every day now. That is like my breakfast, is eating popsicles. It's wonderful. It's keeping me hydrated. It keeps me bounced back after a long victory day. Because Falcons played yesterday. So, but the popsicles bring me back to life. They are
All right.
I need to buy more of an 80, right. actually. I should buy another box.
Do you? I was just a little confused that someone has already eaten four of those, but if you're happy, then I'm happier. I thought Tennessee made a statement on Saturday. Tennessee's offense mm-hmm. is as good as anybody's in the country. You know, I thought Tennessee played a pretty poor quarter and a half to start the game.
Yep.
Just because, you know, they just didn't take advantage of opportunities. You know, they end up fumbling on their first possession when they went right down the field. And I think Florida knew from the get-go, Cody, that they had nothing for Tennessee. They couldn't stop us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you saw Billy Napier. I'll say Billy Napier kind of coached his ass off. I mean, I felt mm-hmm. like they came in and tried to leave winning the game, and they were more worried about winning the game than they were of, like, maybe keeping the score close. Which I think as a fan of a team – that's what you want. You know, when you mm-hmm. go for as many fourth downs as he did, including one like on his, you know,
27?
Yeah, well, yeah, 30-yard line or whatever it was, and throw a deep ball. Like, he tried to will them into the game. They were 5 of 6 on third down. And 5 of 6 on fourth down, 7 of 15 on third down. So, like, you didn't get a lot of stops on them.
And if I remember, when they converted that fourth down, it was either 38-21 or 38-27. I thought, did that not result in the score that made it
38-27? Maybe.
So I think had they not gotten that, obviously that's a huge risk.
The game would have been over.
We would have put the nail in the coffin right there, I think.
I thought it was on the drive before, though. I thought it was on the play that result. I thought it was on the drive that resulted in the fumble.
Yeah, maybe.
So we're up 10, and then I think we got them a fourth and one, fourth and two. Yeah, fourth and two on Florida's 27. They hit that big play. The next play runs out the quarter, and then, yeah, Richardson fumbles. So
okay.
That drive would have got them, you know, back to a three-point game. So, like, at that point, it was where a lot of people would have punted, right? Third quarter from your own side of the goal, you know, from your own side of the field. That's a point where, like, most people just punt and say, we can't go for this.
It was such a nice feeling seeing them play like a desperate FCS team.
Yeah.
That was so cool to me.
They
I was like, y'all are so desperate right now, but you're going for anything in any moment. And obviously we haven't seen that from Florida really ever when we play them. So it was so nice to see.
They did play a tough first half. Like you said, we got off to a pretty slow start. But you could see it when they score the touchdown and go up 7-3, and then we immediately respond and hit them and go up 10-7, and then they're up 14-10. And then right before halftime, we hit them again to go up 17-14. And you could feel it with our touchdowns, like, that they shouldn't be stopping us much.
Yeah, it was a statement. And, you know, on Twitter, I called it the best double dip ever. Like, whenever you kick off to start the game, you dream about those scenarios. Anybody mm-hmm. who's ever played Madden, you try desperately to set up those scenarios where you're scoring at the end of the half and getting the ball back to start the second half. And Tennessee went 99 yards, took the lead, and then got the ball and went up 10 points before Florida even got to run another play. Like, it went from a game that you were trailing in to a game you had control of just because you properly managed the clock. Now, a 99-yard drive, that's as big boy as it gets. And, mm-hmm. you know, shout out to Ramel Keaton, one of the best catches you'll ever see inside Neyland Stadium as he's full extended diving out looking like Marvin Harrison to get them deep down the field. That was big time. I thought Bruce touchdown to end the first half was a really nice slot and catch, too. I thought mm-hmm. he was a monster. Jalen Hyatt made big plays. Jacob Ward made big plays. Princeton Fant had the fumble, but I thought, you know, he still came up with a couple of nice catches that he had to have.
Yeah, and that touchdown right after the half, that was the perfect back-to-back because that was a critical touchdown. Because I think you could almost sense it then, like, when we went up 24-14, you really didn't think Florida would come back on you. I mean, I don't know that you could necessarily say you knew we were going to win at that point, but I felt a lot of confidence through the whole game. The stadium just felt confident. I don't know how you really describe that, but it was a feeling in the air that just you just didn't think Tennessee could lose that game.
I was surprised that the crowd was not as anxious and groaning around, which, granted, Tennessee didn't really find themselves in any peculiar situations outside of the onside kick. But at that point, I did not think Florida was going to score. If they would have, that would have just been one you just have to laugh off and truly believe in curses, because if they were able to steal that game from you and win, what can you even do? But I thought that, you know, some of the biggest plays to me was, you know, Tennessee goes down 7-3. And you're like, okay, we don't really look like we can really stop Florida. We got one, you know, fourth down stop. They missed a field goal, but they kind of moved the ball both of those times. We fumbled. We got set up, you know, we had to settle for a field goal. So, like, maybe our offense isn't going to be as high powered as we thought. Then they just go right down the field and score to go up 7-3. And Tennessee comes out. And the very first play, Brew McCoy breaks free for 70 yards. And you're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they go back and they score a touchdown. They're up 14-10. And, you know, I want to say at that point, you came out and maybe hit another, you know, a couple big plays to Hyatt and McCoy. And you end up fumbling on that drive, you know, when Hooker gets sacked on fourth down. So it didn't really matter. But you got stopped on fourth down. You're like, okay, you know, what are we going to do? You get a stop. And then, you know, you come out in the second half and, you know, really just impose your will. You dominate them. And Florida, like Cam said, was a desperate, wacky underdog FCS team that's just trying to, like, surprise you and win some games.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they got the onside kick, you know, late. And you did, for a second there, you did kind of, oh, boy, you know. There was a moment where I don't want to say you thought you would lose. I never thought we were going to lose. But there was a moment, man, when it's 38-33, like, God, can we end this, please?
Yeah.
And then you get the interception in it, and the crowd erupted. It was beautiful.
I'm okay with the final score being a little closer. I wanted a blowout. And if you're wanting to nitpick, like, I really thought Tennessee could have just gone down and scored another touchdown whenever they, you know, they could have ended the game and went up 18 after Florida scored and didn't get the two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee tried to slow the clock down. And I'll give Heupel credit while also saying nitpick. Just because last year you didn't see him really, like, burn the clock as much as he did. And, like, they were draining the clock down to 1 second on the play clock, and they were, you know, really trying to run the clock out. And they just happened to end up getting stopped. I would have been completely fine had he just been like, you know what, let's just go fast because they can't stop us. Let's just do our offense.
Mm-hmm.
Snap it like 10, 15 seconds, but just stay in our rhythm, and let's just go throw in another touchdown.
Yeah, and I had a friend after the game that told me that, too, that said, you know, like, he was saying, I don't really like the way that we close games. And it's nice to be ahead, obviously. You take that scenario, but we don't really know how to play conservatively. And so that's what he said. He said, yeah, I would almost just rather run our offense and go down there and take your chances and see if you can score again.
There's a fine line. Like, I don't want to be snapping it with, you know, 34 seconds on the clock. But, like, going down all the way to one does kind of kill your rhythm a little bit. And, you know, if you get one first down on 4th-and-3, you win that game, and, you know, you don't have to sweat at all. But I got no issue with the final score. You know, it helps throw people off your scent a little bit. You know, I saw where ESPN has LSU ranked, or excuse me, predicted to win in the FPI. We'll see what the point is when it comes out. But, like,
that thing doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, like, if Tennessee would have won by 18 or something like that, it would have made more ripples maybe across the country versus seeing just a 5-point score, because Tennessee was as efficient as ever, and Hendon Hooker, you know, now I believe has the fourth best Heisman odds. He was awesome. Yep. Yep. That's as good of a game you'll ever see a Tennessee quarterback play.
If you are, yeah, he was great.
Told you, I wasn't worried. He was going to bounce back.
Yep, no, he looks great.
National Player of the Week, won the Walter Camp National Player of the Week. So clearly best offensive performance in the country. And our offense is actually, I believe, right now number one in the country in total offense. And number two in pass offense. So we are a juggernaut offensively. And that gives me a lot of happiness that you were clearly 3 touchdowns better than Florida without your best player on the field.
Yeah. And that was with
– and not playing your best game by any means.
You didn't play your best game, and I'll say that, you know, the game that I think everyone was dreading, the game that everyone was melting down about after week one was like, my God, what if this quarterback comes in and he's running around making plays and throwing for a bunch of yards.
And he did.
And Anthony Richardson looks like Cam Newton or Vince Young, and, oh, my God, running quarterback, and he's so good. And he came out and had 500 total yards and 4 touchdowns, yeah, and they still, you know, were – nowhere near as good as Tennessee.
And still really nowhere near winning. Even though they were near it, they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know.
Mm-hmm. If you told me that, like, yardage number before the game, though, I'd been like, oh, no.
Well, yeah, but
oh, no.
Yeah, that's not really saying much, Kevin. If you tell me a guy's got 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, I, too, would have been worried. But
then when you say, yeah, but our guy won the National Player of the Week.
Yeah. Our guy actually outplayed him. He had 500 total yards and 4 touchdowns.
Without
he got
Tillman.
Outplayed.
Without Tillman.
Who's maybe, you know, the best receiver in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, man.
Offensive lineman of the SEC, offensive lineman of the week.
Obviously, you don't see the trenches and notice like who's mauling, but I did see like him really bringing the noise like after plays and celebrations. Like him and Gerald Mincy are kind of menaces when it comes to that. We got a kind of a nasty offensive line, and they don't really let Hooker get hit much. And Hooker's tough, man. He got hit hard on his first drive, and he got up and got in the guy's face and then just dominated the game. One last thing on the offense, you know, 350 yards through the air, and none of your wide receivers had more than five catches. Like, Brew had five, Fant had five, Hyatt had five, Keaton chipped in with three.
That's great.
Warren had one big one for 45 yards, and Jabari Small had a couple of checkdowns, and then that one big second and goal from the 16 after the penalty where he scored. Like, you just were balanced, man. You just attacked from all over the field.
Which means that, you know, if you're LSU watching that film, you go into that and you got to be thinking, I don't know. They don't know where to focus. It's not like there's one guy they can focus on and try to shut down. I mean, it's an offense that'll hit you in multiple spots.
That's the offense. We'll dive into the defense after the break. Talk Sports is broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Enjoyed a lot of White Claws this weekend. Boy, did I.
Hell yeah.
Light, refreshing, only 100 calories, the perfect tailgate beverage. Perfect end of the night beverage, too, honestly. Drink some White Claw responsibly. Don't get in fights out on the streets of Knoxville when you're a celebrity.
What can a poor boy do?
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Cody, grade the performance from the offense.
A+.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't give it an A+ because I do think you made your life a little bit harder by fumbling at the beginning of the game, because if you score a touchdown that first drive, you might just blow the doors off of them. The, you know, having to settle for a field goal on the second drive and not being able to close the game out and even letting them get to an onside kick. I can't give them an A+.
A minus. There were drives that they did not complete, so.
Yeah. I was going to say like a 92, 93.
Yeah. Yeah.
A solid grade. One that you can beat a overman team with. Like, you're not beating Alabama or.
It wouldn't quite get you into Ivy League, but it'll get you into Stanford.
How much better is the Ivy League than Stanford? I always kind of assumed they were like the same.
It's I don't just, think the gap's that big, actually.
I just thought it was like. I always thought it was actually the same. It's just like you didn't want to move to the West Coast, is kind of what I always thought, but.
I thought, like, the Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwest, I thought that tier was, like, one below.
See, I think it was Stanford first being better than Vanderbilt and, like, Northwestern and stuff, too. So maybe I'm just mistaken.
I don't know. I mean, to me, there's, like, private institutions, and then there's Ivy League. Ivy League just has that reputation as being the –
yeah, for sure.
But I don't really know because I can't get into any of them. So I'm probably not the guy to ask. You'd have to ask somebody that – was educated on that level, probably.
I do know somebody that went to Stanford.
Oh, wow.
And somebody that went to Harvard, too, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I know either.
Do you think there's any way you could have gotten into Harvard?
No. Mm-hmm. Be born much smarter and have parents send you to, like, all of, like, the smartest things when you're young to try to train you. But I still don't think I would have gotten in. Like,
well, they do accept some people, though, on other merits. Like, do you think there's anything you do well enough?
Me being a middle to upper class white male, I do not think I would have, you know, ranked on any of the other criteria. I think this would have been like, sorry, bro.
I could have gotten if I tried hard enough. Honestly, yeah, maybe. I just didn't try in the last year.
Well,
of high
you would need some special skill though.
I had no special skills.
I'm not even talking about diversity. I'm talking about like, there might be somebody who's just really, really great brain wise in one area.
Yeah.
And they'll accept you based on that,
I got nothing.
I think.
I got nothing that I'm great in.
Yeah, I don't think I do either.
I think I could have maybe made like a debate team somewhere. Maybe I could have been an Ivy League debater. But I don't actually know how to argue about anything that is important. Like if you had thoughts on economics or worldwide affairs, like, I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
Everybody love everybody. That's my take.
I don't know. But I can tell you why Lamar Jackson's good.
How about that? Can we get Charlie Collier on the phone? Because all I could think about yet last night while watching that stupid Broncos 49ers game was him telling me for a week straight that Lamar Jackson sucked and Russell Wilson was so much better than him. And I just want to just check in on him and see if he still feels that way.
Well, Russ finally put a drive together last night.
Yeah, you don't get to put one drive together and feel like you've been you're vindicated.
No, he was bad most of the game.
And he's just lucky that the 49ers were even worse. So, like, that was putrid. That was
I loved watching the fourth quarter of that game. I don't know if that's just was sadistic on my part or what, but I actually, for an 11-10 affair, I actually enjoyed that fourth quarter. There was quite a bit of action.
So that score got me, because that's a
wild
score.
No, because they said there was – I remember they said – Tirico said it on the broadcast. There was one game back in 2008, I think, Pittsburgh and the Chargers.
I saw that as well. Okay. I don't know if it was 2008, but it sounds right. But they said that score got me is like, this has only happened one other time.
I think it was – Tirico said it was 08, Pittsburgh and Chargers. But not that it really matters.
Yeah, it was a good game.
It was a good game in the fourth quarter, I thought. I enjoyed that the defense and the playmaking and the, you know, it wasn't a big scoreboard game.
It's a close game. It's a close game. I guess it was dramatic, but
I was pulling for Denver.
We gave the offense a 93. Cam, is that kind of where you're at too with it?
Yeah, because you left a lot of opportunities on the table where you really could have opened that game up, and you should have put like 50 on them.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, it would have been so nice.
But I'm not complaining.
Now, what do you make of the defense? How are we grading the defense? Because they tell you Anthony Richardson had 500 yards.
F plus. Yeah. I give them a plus because they did come up big when you needed them to, but throughout the game, like, that team is not good enough to be moving a ball up and down the field like that.
Well, Cody, for them to come up when you need them to me, that's the key, because to me, that's what I felt after Pittsburgh, too.
Yes.
I don't know that our defense is very good talent-wise. I think we probably got some secondary issues, but I do think they're a bend-don't-break defense, and I think they make some plays, and, you know, to force field goal attempts and to force turnovers. To me, those are good qualities of a defense, even if they are giving up a lot of yards. I mean, we don't have the best defense in the country. There's no sugarcoating it. We got a few secondary issues, and that could be exposed when we play Alabama. It might be hard to keep pace with that Alabama team. I'm not sure, but I just think because we do have the best offense in the country, we're able to more than make up for it in most games. And I think we'll be able to in the LSUs of the world, the Kentuckys of the world, I think we'll be able to win games like that.
I think you guys are being harsh on the defense. Well, not you, Cody. I think Cam's being harsh. Because I understand, you know, like you gave up 500 yards to Anthony Richardson. But, like, I do think context matters. You gave up 21 points through, 52 minutes of the game?
Mm-hmm.
It was 38-21, and the game was over, right? Tennessee scored the walk-in touchdown to go up 38-21. I want to say there was, 5:55 on the clock. If you'd have told me that, if you tell me that Tennessee's going to give up 21 points in 55 minutes, I'm signing up for that, and I'm hitting the button and saying, yeah, let's do it, because...
Well, that's what I mean when I'm talking about the bend don't break.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I think we give up quite a few yards, but I think they do make plays in key situations.
You did get one fourth down stop. You did get the big stop before half, which I don't know. Florida was doing the whole Butch Jones thing. You would think all teams, of any team in the country that would say how bad an idea it is to have your offensive line freeze and not block whenever you think someone's jumped off sides, you would think it would be Florida because they saw Tennessee do that in the swamp and, you know, it go horribly for us. They did that on 3rd and 11 before half, and we get the ball back and end up scoring. We did force a turnover on Anthony Richardson, you know, when it was a 10-point game. We got a big strip sack.
The thing is that I think, and maybe what Cam's thinking too, is I don't think the Florida offense is really very good. And so it is somewhat alarming, I think, to people that you give up that much.
I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed. I can't give an F plus, though, just because even if Tennessee just recovers the onside kick and it's 26-38 at the end of the game, or 27-38 at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. That's still a passing grade for me.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to be able to get a stop, but I mean, garbage time is so much different where you're trying to, you know, tackle and not let people get by you. And
naturally, you're going to give up some passing yards.
Yeah. They did get the interception at the end. To me, I thought, I don't know. I mean, if Tim Banks would look and say, like, hey, yeah, I was happy with the game plan and we're fine with giving up yards because we won and we always had a lead. Like, we had a lead the entire second half, right? So when you're defense and you're pretty much constantly – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am because we didn't get stopped in the second half. But, like, every time Florida was on offense except after the onside kick, they were trailing by double digits, right?
Yeah.
Like, they never had the ball with a chance to take the lead until the onside kick.
Yeah. That's correct from what I remember. And I would rather be in control of a game than have a defense that's a little better and you need them to make a critical stop because your offense can't score well enough.
Yeah. I just judge differently depending on context. And like I said, Tennessee was basically always in position to have a lead. Now, I will say it was very, very frustrating to be in the stadium. And on the money downs, right, the third and fourth downs, you're making noise. You're like, all right, let's make some noise. And then they either convert the third down or they don't. But they set themselves up to go for fourth down, and they get every one after the very first one they went for, and you're just, or I guess after the very first drive. And you're just like, damn it, we can't get one stop. I don't know if Tim Banks would say, hey, yeah, game plan was executed, we won, and, you know, we were never in doubt, really. Or if he would say, you know what, I might not have sat back and let Anthony Richardson just have all day to throw, because when Tennessee did blitz, including on the final interception, they, you know, bothered him. But you don't want to blitz a quarterback who has, you know, has game-breaking running skills. You do want to make him beat you with his accuracy. And to his credit, he threw some pretty good passes.
You know, I do wonder, had Sunbelt Billy not gone for two there toward the end, and then they get that onside kick, and
it's field goal.
Same situation, it's 38-35. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why he went for two there. I was very confused by that in the moment.
I'm glad he did it.
Yeah, no, it worked out for us.
But. Or had he gotten it and gotten that situation, then they kick a field goal to win. That would have been bad.
That's the idea behind it. It's similar. I haven't seen a coach ever do it, but to me it's similar to the, you know, the movement where that teams that are down 14 and they score go for two because you get two chances at it.
He's a gambler.
If you get the first one, then you're kicking the extra point for the win. If you don't get it, you got a chance to go for the two and get it. So if he gets the first two-point conversion, they're down nine, a touchdown and field goal, win it. If he doesn't get it and gets another touchdown, he has a chance to get another two-point conversion and make a three-point game to make it a, you know, even Stevens. And, you know, he just happened to go 0 for 2 on two-point conversions, which is actually a little surprising with someone like Anthony Richardson. You would think he would get one of those two-point conversions.
Billy's a gambler, and it's nice to be the team that he's got to gamble against, you know. Jeremy Pruitt was a gambler, and we saw in the games where he was gambling, you knew you weren't as good as the team you were playing. And so that's a good feeling, I think, to be on the other side of that. It's like, this team has to take risks against you because they can't beat you straight up. And that's a good feeling. We were just better than Florida for once, and everybody could feel it, and they knew it. I saw Tony Vitello after the game, by the way.
Yeah?
I was standing outside the stadium, right in the, you know, the front parking lot there by gate 21. All of a sudden, this guy comes jogging by me, and he runs right past me. And I go, hey, that's Tony Vitello. And I turned around and I said, Tony, don't get arrested tonight. And he turned around and he goes, why not? It was pretty funny.
He's a king.
Yeah. He said, why not?
Them showing him on the screen, you know, at the game, pumping up the crowd, like, he's just a guy being a dude living his best life.
Yeah.
He's thriving.
If there was one person to, like, the coolest person in Knoxville, it's probably him.
Yeah. Well,
the
yeah.
He's, like, living his best life. Like, I mean, he doesn't get, you know, the notoriety of a football or basketball coach here, although I'd say he's just as popular as Rick Barnes. But, like, Heupel has a little bit of a bigger stage, right, being a football coach. But, like, Vitello's right there, lockstep, like, making himself known at the football games, too, like, getting on the Jumbotron and, like, winning that over. And he understands this, you know, this fan base and environment, leans into it. And, of course, he's just a gorgeous, gorgeous man.
He's a cool guy. He's, yeah, nice.
Everyone walking around probably supposed to make out with him.
Yeah. I think, well, that's why I think he was running out of the stadium.
Running away from people. Well, go find some people to make out with.
Well, just because you got to think, if you're Tony Vitello, you can't just walk out like most of us can. I mean, you got to kind of.
I would walk very slow everywhere.
Would you?
I would make sure people saw me at all times.
Yeah. I imagine he would get pretty swamped, though. So I just saw him. He was literally running out of gate 21. I said, Tony V, don't get arrested, brother.
Trying to get to the Maserati to get out, beat traffic.
Don't get arrested, brother.
Jared asked what we thought about the crowd doing the Gator Chomp. We'll dive into what the crowd and the game day presentation felt like after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. What did you make of the crowd gator chomping, Cody?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I was a part of it.
Think it was a little too early? Would have been bad look had we blown that game.
Oh, my God.
It would have lived in infamy for the rest of the rivalry's history.
Look, the thought crossed my mind that this would be the worst loss in school history, and it did go into my brain for a second, and I did everything I could to push it out. I said, no, we will not think this way.
The guys would have sat down and had his hands in his head.
For a second there, it was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, that would have been bad. But the Gator Chomping was, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. I was a part of it. I saw a meme that said, when you gator chomp, you're hailing Hitler and cupping his balls at the same time.
Yeah. Is that your tweet of the day?
Yeah, that's my tweet of the day. I don't know who made the meme.
I saw it too.
It was a meme. I thought it was pretty good. Because that is kind of, if you think about it, that is kind of the motion of, that is kind of what it looks like. But yeah, I had no problem with do people not like the Gator Chomp or something? Or?
Well, no, it's just that's what the question was from Jared. I mean, the only complaint you would have is that maybe you did it a little too early, but no, I mean, that's the best way to taunt. I think the Gator Chomp is cool, like if you're a Florida fan, but it's one of those things that like it's very easy to have thrown back in your face, and you know when Jalen Wright busted in the end zone and hit him with it as well.
And then the throat slash.
It's not a throat slash.
Well, whatever it was.
It's a nose thing. No, I'm bringing you up to the streets.
It was cool, though.
Apparently, it's a sign, right, Cam? Like, maybe Cam doesn't know. Maybe I'm being a little assumptive.
I know what it is.
Presumptuous.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a sign for your ops, like that you're going to rob or kill somebody. So like whenever,
what is it? It's fingers under the nose?
Finger under the nose, which I thought was like a sex thing.
Because that means something else to me.
Probably means drug use, but I took it as like a sex thing, like, you know, smell my fingers type of thing, because I just, you know, got in you, is what I kind of took it as. That's what I thought.
It's a little graphic.
Well, I'm sorry. I tried to, either way. But no, apparently it's a thing that it's just like a sign that gang members do and rappers do that... it's a sign about robbing.
Gonna get snuffed. Killing.
Get snuffed, yeah.
So it was not supposed to be a throat slash.
It was not supposed to be a throat slash. It was a hands under the nose. It was like a smell. We had a couple of our players were doing that. Like,
how do we know that?
Well, hand placement. Like, the throat's down here. The nose is up here.
Okay. So he did it across, like, the face mask?
Yeah.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was
I do not know enough about the streets to know that.
Well, that's why I was bringing you up to speed.
Thank you for educating me about street life.
Yep. You're welcome.
It's good to have someone with street cred here.
Yep.
Here on the show.
You're welcome.
I don't know if it mattered. I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something. I forgot.
Crowd live up to expectations? Because I got to be honest, it didn't feel like we had a couple of big moments on defense where you could like really lose your mind. But did you feel like it lived up to your expectations? I was slightly disappointed in the crowd, but that it was still elite.
I thought it was pretty deafening at times. Okay. I don't know how to judge the loudest ever or whatever. I didn't think it was the loudest I'd ever heard the stadium. But it was definitely full. I mean, it was a packed house, and it was checkered properly, and everybody was there. And there were times when it was deafening. And by deafening, I mean, if you screamed, you could not hear yourself scream. But again, I don't know how to measure that in terms of decibels or whatever. Was it the loudest ever? I didn't think so. Thought it was pretty good crowd, though.
No, it's a great crowd. And, you know, I know everyone always gets mad, gimmicks. But, I mean, every time we check our nailing, it's very, very pretty. It just looks so cool. The fireworks are cool.
I have a
third
little...
down for what? I thought they brought it out on the very first third down, and we gave it up. They tried it one more time. We gave up another third down, so maybe it's going to get retired. I don't know. I am so sick of the Welcome to the Jungle, though. I don't like that one.
No, I don't either. They should have just done third down for one every time. They should just keep that for every time.
I don't think you can do it every time.
You think it hits different if you just bring it out for a special
occasion?
Yeah, a
couple big ones. I don't think you should do any, like, it just, if you do any song too much, it just becomes, you know, just worn down.
We should do something else instead of Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah. I think we had some Metallica mixed in there, too, that worked pretty well, I think.
Welcome to the Jungle is just too popular of a song. I think you need something a little more intimate.
Ed writes in saying for it to get the level of loud that I'm talking about, he thinks it has to be a night game. I don't know if that means, like, people have to get a little bit more liquor.
People are just a little drunker, a little more. Yeah, maybe so. And maybe that crowd would – I think that particular crowd that was there probably would have been that way by 10 p.m. Good game.
Great game.
Nice win.
Good news is, man, we get a bye week now to kind of reset. We're in the top 10 for the first time since, what, 2006, I believe the number is. Now you kind of get just to relax.
We were in the top 10 in 2016, weren't we?
Or, excuse me, top 8. Top 8.
Top 8 top for eight. The first time
yes,
since 06.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering because I thought in 2016 the highest we got was 9.
Yep. Thank you for the correction because that is an important distinction. We were top 10 in 2016, but yes, we haven't been in the top 8.
Top 8 for the first time since 06.
Yep.
That's pretty
Got a chance
that's
you can move
cool.
up this weekend. Kentucky, 6-point dogs at Ole Miss.
They could lose.
Clemson plays North Carolina State. Got a chance to move up a couple spots.
Michigan plays at Iowa.
Iowa's 3-1, man. Iowa.
Of course they cover that game because their first two touchdowns were defensive touchdowns. Yeah. I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Iowa plays hard-nosed defense.
I will say I saw some journalists writing about Shiano, you know, leaving the fans disappointed. So seems like Tennessee's got a pretty good leg up on everybody right now because we are top 8 in the country and having a lot of fun. And, man, I just like Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
After the game, I'm just talking about how great the atmosphere is. And, you know, just look at this. Man, how cool is this? Like, he's a ball.
He seems like a guy that we can really get behind for. I hope it lasts for several years, you know. Most coaches don't get to stick around very long, but I'd like to keep him around. He's just got to keep winning.
Keep winning. Simple as. Hour 1 of the books. Kick off hour 2 of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.